I almost feel like I owe Melvin an apology. I have gotten so discombobulated and disjointed myself that I'm a little afraid that maybe I'm contagious and he caught it from me. But it does help to stress the point that, yes, we're trying to worship God, but we're here as a family and we're here to support each other, even if there are some minor glitches and adjustments as we go through. And along that lines, I also need to express a word of appreciation for Don for humoring me on a challenge. He and I have a friendly running battle going where I use IBM machines and he uses Apple machines. And they talk better than they used to, but there's still some glitches in their communication. And for tonight's lesson, I thought I'd do something a little bit different and use some hyperlinks between the slides. And when I let him know about that, he got this expression that was somewhat concerned, saying, "Well, I don't know if this is going to work." And we played with it a little bit, and we got it where we think it'll work. But the consequences was, I believe some of the text and the fonts in the first few slides were a little bit off. Don, I'm sorry about that. Tonight's lesson is dealing with how well do you listen? How many of you people out there as parents have ever been a little bit frustrated when you're talking to your child or your grandchild and they should be looking at you right in the eyeballs and their eyeballs are going over here and over there and they're doing this and they're not absorbing a word you're saying? We've all been there, haven't we? How do you think God feels about us when we do that with him? Probably the same way we feel about our grandkids and our kids. And that's what tonight's lesson is about, is how well do we listen? And we'll be looking at it from the perspective of why is it important? What do we get out of it? And we'll try make a few points on some suggestions on how to improve our listening so that we do a better job of serving God as his children. In Mark chapter 4, verse 23, it states, if I can get my okay, Don. Push it. Press and just hold it and press it? Okay. This is going to be a tag team effort, I'm afraid, Don. But in Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it states, and Christ is speaking here, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For the one who has more, more will be given. And for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Clearly, our listening is important in terms of what happens to us and how God interacts with us. And we also have to admit that not everyone is a good listener. Hopefully you can see that we've got a class of folks who, maybe the young lady in the lower right is listening. Maybe. We don't want to be listening to God in this way, do we? And by the way, in the lower left-hand corner, you'll see I put an acknowledgement there that I got the basis of this outline and this lesson in the PowerPoint from Mark Copeland from his Executable Online's website. I'd recommend it if you need study materials or if you need a starting point for lessons and things. It's a good site. So we have different types of listeners. We have those that are hard of hearing. And if we'll go to Matthew chapter 13. How long do you have? Okay, I got it. And in Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through 5, This is why I speak to them in parables, Christ speaking again, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case of prophecy of Isaiah, it is fulfilled, saying, "You will indeed hear, but you will never understand, and you will indeed see, but you will never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown dull, and their ears can barely hear, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." So clearly we have individuals that are hard of hearing. And in this particular passage, it seemed to indicate they were hard of hearing by a conscious choice. There are those that are dull of hearing. And I am going to resort to the paper backup copy that I made. Well, I can't. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Some topics are difficult, but quite often the difficulty in the hearing and understanding is not on the message. It's not on the complexity of the message. It's on the part of the listener. So we have individuals that are dull of hearing. We've got those with itching ears. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. We don't really use the term itching ears in our society today as a rule. But just folks that only want to hear what they want to hear. And that's the only thing they're going to listen to. Then we've got those with good and noble hearts who listen with readiness. Christ speaking, and this is pertaining to the interpretation of the parable of the soils, or the sower. As for that good in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience or endurance. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Now, you could probably go and try to figure out a few additional types of listeners, but I think it's important to note here that of the four categories that we have defined here, only one of them is commendable. I think listening is another example where it's a whole lot easier to do it wrong than it is to do it right. The point being, to do a good job of listening, it's going to require some effort and some thought. So the importance of good listening, we need it to be blessed. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. How often do we think about all the faithful who lived under the Old Testament the old law, who were looking forward to seeing things, but with the prophecies just couldn't quite see what we can see and what we can read and understand when we listen to the scriptures. A real blessing there, both in terms of satisfying our desire for knowledge, but also our desire to receive the blessings of God. To have a saving faith. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. In the next passage, how then will they call on them whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And I'm going to have to find my... slide here. Okay, Don, you may have to come up here. Well, this is an operator difficulties. Melvin's not the only one that was discombobulated. I hit the wrong button. So I need to go up a few slides.
Oh, up a few slides?
Yeah. Yeah, just keep going. Okay, I can get it from here. Thanks. Well, unfortunately, you as the audience are the victim of me trying to learn how to do the hyperlinks. So we need it to have a saving faith. We need it in terms of bearing fruit. As for that in the good soil, they are the ones who hear the word and hold fast in an honest and good heart, bearing fruit with patience. Which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And we also need to be good listeners to avoid apostasy. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to that which we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And finally, to avoid rejection, Matthew 10:14-15, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. The context for this is Jesus providing instructions to the 12 apostles prior to sending them out to spread the gospel, the good word. And what Jesus is saying, if you find folks that won't listen, move on. It's going to be bad news for them. But move on to somebody who will listen. So the listeners are rejected. And if you go to Acts chapter 13, verse 44 to 49, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles have heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole world." There is a lot in that passage. You've got Paul speaking the truth. People are receiving it. Then the Jews, for jealousy reasons, not because they argued with the truth, apparently, but because they were arguing with what they didn't like, began to revile Paul. And Paul's response was just to say, "Okay, we're moving on. We're going to talk to the Gentiles. And because we're going to talk to the Gentiles will hear the truth, and the Gentiles will be saved." Of course, the Gentiles are happy. What about the Jews that rejected the word? They should have been very concerned, shouldn't they? So we need to think in terms of, if we reject the word because we're not listening carefully. And of course, this leads to the point that we need good listening to escape condemnation. "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." Context. This is Jesus speaking to an audience. And he's saying that when this generation goes before God on the day of judgment, there'll also be the people with Sodom, the men of Nineveh. And by comparison, between the generation Jesus is talking to and the generation of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, the Ninevites are going to be looked at with favor by comparison to the current generation. The same is true for the Queen of Sheba. Because the current generation is rejecting the word being taught by Jesus. So we need to make sure that in our listening we're not rejecting God's word. All right, now we reach the point in the lesson where we're going to start looking at what kind of steps do we need to think about as possibilities to help with our listening. The first thing I would suggest is prepare in advance to listen. We go to Matthew chapter 5, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "So if you were offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." In this, we have an example dealing with an individual who was going to go make a sacrifice to God. The point Jesus was saying is you've got something you need to take care of so that you're in a position to worship God. So if we go back to this concept of preparing in advance to listen, what kind of things does that entail? Getting a good night's sleep before Sunday morning so you're awake? If you, you know, can, if at all possible. Removing the things of life that are stressing you out so you're focusing on the lesson, and I have to admit that that is tough for me sometimes. What can we do to help prepare in advance of listening? And that's kind of a question that's going to be a little bit different for everybody, the answer. The other thing we need to remember is, well, right now, you're listening to me, and I'm trying to present the truth to the best of my ability, God's Word. Isn't that worship? Aren't we, or shouldn't we be thinking in terms of, we are putting our focus not on ourselves or our personal pleasures, but we are, you might want to say, sacrificing a little bit of time due to the importance of hearing God's Word and listening to God's Word and reading God's Word. Let's turn over to Psalms 119, starting in verse 97. And here the psalmist is saying, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now if you were listening, you would realize that that, in one sense, potentially contradicts what I said a moment ago about we could, in one way, consider our time here listening and worshiping as a sacrifice to God. Well, if our attitude is right like the psalmist, we wouldn't think it was a sacrifice because we'd want to be here. It'd be an opportunity to give homage and praise to God. We need to be listening with faith. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should come to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. The point here is, if we are not united or not in fellowship or having the same perspective as the individual who's teaching God's Word, if we don't share that faith, we're not going to get the benefit of being in the room unless we change our faith to match. And here's one that I think we can overlook sometimes. We need to be thinking in terms of when we're hearing somebody preach about the gospel, we need to be listening with the intent to learn and grow. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You know, the scripture we just read was about, portrayed the attitude or the receptivity of a child to the milk they need to eat when they're hungry. Is that our attitude with the scriptures? When the scriptures are being taught, are we looking at that and saying, okay, what's in here to nourish me? What is being taught that addresses the shortcoming in my life. What am I doing wrong that this is pointing out? What can I learn from this to grow as a Christian? And of course, that leads to the next point. There's not much practical benefit to listening with the intent to learn and grow unless there's an intent to also act. As for you, son of men, you're people who talk together about you by the walls and the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. This is Isaiah, the prophet, receiving the word, describing how people were going to receive the message he would teach them. And I think that we, as a people, humans, have a tendency sometimes to take this attitude, because when you really look at this and you think about what's being said here, this describes the individual that comes into a worship service to hear a sermon, and it's a form of entertainment. It's country club stuff. Where they hear it, it sounds good. The PowerPoint was really good or really bad, depending on who's making the PowerPoints. And they satisfy their entertainment component, but it makes no impact on their lives. Contrast that to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away at once and forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I think another thing, and this is a personal thought of mine, is I think if we are really, truly going to listen to a lesson and learn from that lesson, we need to be thinking about, what does this particular point mean? Both in and of itself, but also what are the implications with another point that may be made earlier in the lesson? Or maybe wasn't in the lesson, but it addresses another point of God's truth. So when we're hearing God's word being presented and we're listening, we need to be thinking in terms of not just hearing the words, but understanding those words and how what you're understanding now fits in with what you understood from previous lessons and previous teachings. Because it all has to mesh together. There shouldn't be any contradictions in God's word and his message for us. And that really leads to the next point on listening. And this is true for listening, whether it's in a spiritual lesson or whether it's at work or at school or wherever. To really listen takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of endurance to listen to what's being said, to think about what's going on. So A good listener is not a listener who just sits back and gets entertained. A good listener is a person who's engaged with the thoughts that are being presented, who's thinking about those thoughts, and is actively interacting with those thought processes. So it really goes back to the question of how well do we listen? In Isaiah 55, verse 3, states, "Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant." So that really leads us to the invitation tonight. Will you listen to God and respond, not to my invitation, but to His invitation? To hear His word, to absorb it, to meditate on it, to incorporate it into your life, to obey His will? If you have some sin in your life that you need to acknowledge publicly, or you just need the prayers of the congregation, or if you have not yet, let me rephrase that, if you have begun your life of listening to God and you know what you need to do to obey the gospel, you now have the opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing.